Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So I went online last night this morning and saw the general consensus of people saying, I can't remember the last time I was this excited about the Twins at this time of the year. I think one of the principal reasons for that is the man sitting right next to Mike Max right now. Mike, you want to bring Derek Falvey into this conversation?
Oh. Dude, I'm going to reestablish my connection back there. You can have in on Derek.
I appreciate that. We're trying to juggle mics a little bit. Derek, we're here with Cheryl Reeve this morning, and we'll get to that conversation. Remember, first of all, I think a lot of people are interested in how the Lance Lynn deal came about. Has he finished his physical yet?
We can't comment on anything outside of what's in camp right now, but we'll certainly get to that at some point in the future. But it's been great to be down here in the spring that we've had, and even the guys that have come into camp, you know, since we've started, and Jake Odorizzi, Logan Morrison, and some of the growth and progression of some of our young players. As you said, I think we're just as excited as everyone back home with respect to this season.
Yeah, he can't come on technically. I can just tell you, I saw a guy that looked a lot like him when I was pulling into the parking lot.
All right,
but,
Mike,
but we can't talk about it because we don't know
if
he's actually here or not. But I'm just saying, if you're looking for Derek, you got the minor leaguers going now too. What do you see in the backfield?
Oh, it's been that's one of the best days of the year in my mind. I know we focus a lot on the major league team, but when you were able to kick off minor league camp, which we did a few days ago, and you've got 150-plus players out there every day working on their craft, you know, guys from more high-profile like Royce Lewis to a lot of guys who are going to grow into something here at the major league level that, you know, might not be household names today. But the work that Jeremy Zoll, our farm director, and Edgar Varela, our new field coordinator, is doing along with all those who have been here before, it's exciting to see the momentum building on the backfield.
Morning, Derek. This is Cheryl Reeve. How are you?
Good morning, Cheryl. Good to speak to you again.
Yeah. Congrats on a great offseason so far. I know everyone's talking about signings and that sort of thing. I'm always curious about, I know for the WNBA, the training camp is incredibly important in kind of shaping the season ahead. How has spring training gone for you guys in terms of developing the identity of who the Twins will be this season?
I think, yeah, you're spot on, Cheryl, and, you know, our conversations we've had before. I mean, the value of culture and how you build the culture around a club is so critical, and we've been really fortunate here in the early going. This dates back to last year, even when I arrived. It was such a good bond among the players in that clubhouse, and when we went out into free agency or even through trade, we do a lot of work on the makeup of the player and how they fit into our group, and with guys like Fernando Rodney and Addison Reed and Zach Duke, these are guys who've been in really established positions in the bullpen with other clubs and are really helping, you know, young players develop and grow. And in addition to that, you have guys like Logan Morrison, who brings a little bit of an energy to the clubhouse in a different way every day, which is fun, and Jake Odorizzi, who's a true professional. So we continue to add to that group. But one of the things we did this year that we did last year to kick off camp was to meet with every player and talk just about that, to talk about our culture and our environment, what we want to be about. We're not looking to do things. We're not looking to blow up, you know, the norms, but we are trying to do things a little differently and be the Minnesota Twins and build the type of environment that is supportive and successful. And it's been fun to do that.
You know, Derek, while you're planning this, Derek, did you have a good idea that your roster was going to look different 3 weeks into spring training, just based on the number of players that were sitting out there? Did you guys have a pretty good idea when you got to Fort Myers that, hey, this isn't what it's going to look like in a few weeks?
Well, I think that this has been, as has been well documented, a more unique offseason around free agency and trades and otherwise, and more than the average group number of free agents were out there as we started camp. So we stayed open-minded to that, but what I will say with respect to that is that is a true credit and pure credit to Jim Pohlad and ownership. I mean, you can't, you know, you set your budgets, you try and plan around where you're looking at your club, and everyone does that, every team across the league. But when you have unique opportunities and you can strike to be opportunistic and close some deals when the right guy presents, you know, that was something, whether it was Logan Morrison or the Odorizzi trade or anything else we subsequently do, you know, it's all about being able to have that open, candid conversation with ownership about what we think this is worth and why this is good value, and ultimately to get that support and sign off.
Derek, I know baseball is looking at a lot of things to make the game more fan-friendly, pace of play. I'd like to put in a vote for miking ball players. I thought the Dozier experiment yesterday was so much fun. Listening to him take a shot at Nunez as he rounded the bases after the home run and wincing when he got a call that didn't go his way. I don't know if they're looking at that during the regular season, but, boy, I just thought that was a nice touch.
It really was. I think with the way the game went, outside of the rain that cost us the remainder of it, that couldn't have set up better for the first inning for us. And then I told Dustin Morse that. I said, if we mic up players and we go score 10, I'm good with that any day of the week. you guys can mic up whoever you want if that's the outcome. But it was a fun moment. I think we're all responsive to fan engagement and learning about what our fans want to see and want to be a part of. And the more we can get guys to touch and feel the players, it's a great outcome for us.
Derek, I know that a selection of players is important, as we talked about the character, that sort of thing. But you also mentioned when we had a chance to speak a little bit that development was highly critical. How do you feel about your staff's commitment to the development phase, and how is it going to this point?
Well, that's a great point. I think we always focus on the draft and who we select and what talent and free agents that we can buy. I get it. That's part of any sport and part of the conversation. I would tell you that most of my time is spent internally, after evaluating external options, is how do we grow the talent of our organization? How do we make it better? I think that when you look at, you just mentioned Brian Dozier, someone like that coming through the minor leagues, not the highest profile of that coming out of the draft, and see what he has grown into as a major leaguer is a credit to him, is a credit to a lot of coaches and otherwise. So what we focus on internally with our group is that idea of growth and growth mindset, that there is no I don't love the word ceiling, to be honest, because it always, in my mind, it makes me think there is a limit. And I just think ceiling in most players' cases is unknowable if they commit to the growth and development. So Jeremy Zoll and our new farm director on that side and some of the new ads we had in terms of the coaches and the coordinators and staff, they merge in really well with the guys we had here before. And now we're preaching that every day. It's, hey, where are you now? Even if you're the best player in our minor leagues, you got an opportunity to get better. And here's the plan for how we're going to get you there. If we keep that that culture alive, we're going to get guys to be maybe 2-3% better. But if you do that across the board, 150 players, you got a chance to build something special.
Derek, Mike
and
says that we. Mike, can we take the break here and send Derek consent for a second? All right, Derek will be with us for another segment. We'll take a quick break here and be right back. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Mike, Cheryl, and Dave. Mike, back to you.
Hey, Dave and Cheryl, one of the things, they played Boston yesterday. Derek Falvey, you grew up a Boston Red Sox fan, and you were just telling us during the break about your trial down. You've been down here before for Boston, and it is something down here, that Red Sox nation.
Oh, no question. They certainly, size of the city and that fan base is pretty rabid. I know it growing up in it, but I got to come down to Florida once during spring training. I saw the Red Sox play, but I actually saw them here on the Minnesota side. How about that? So, small world connection.
Hey, Derek, everybody talks about the pickups and the most recent one, we understand you can't talk about. You made one move that hardly anybody's talking about. Michael Pineda, when might he be available? What's his recovery schedule?
So Michael's a guy who is in camp now with us. He had Tommy John surgery last summer, middle of the summer, when he got hurt with New York. So we knew that, by and large, he's going to be fully ready for the 2019 season. But we took a little bit of a creative approach, again, with the support of ownership around. I've said before that part of my job is to keep an eye on the present, but really to keep an eye on the future. And Michael is somebody who we think has real upside in the rotation and can be a really effective starter. So we're looking toward 2019 as a starter, but the benefit we have with the timing of his surgery is that he may be ready to go potentially out of the bullpen by the end of the year. We'll be smart. We want to make sure that we're focused on the future, but if his recovery continues to progress as it has so far, there's a possibility that's a nice addition down the stretch when you need somebody out of the pen.
Derek, how do you manage the the excitement for all the signings, and then that certainly would go hand in hand with expectations, and how do you do that internally in the clubhouse and then externally with the fan base?
Internally, I think is where we're most focused with respect to that is I kind of think about it even going back a year when we came into the season maybe with lesser expectations coming off the 100 loss season. And our view of it is we can control what we can control one day at a time. It's go out, play the best game you can that day, do what we can to get through those nine innings and come out victorious on the other end. And then the next day when you come to the clubhouse, whether we won by 10, whether we lost by 10 or otherwise, approach it the same way. And, you know, I think that's something that I've learned from some different people around the game, and not just in our sport, but, you know, Cheryl, from you and others, is that consistency is so important around how you approach each day. And in terms of external, we get it. We understand that fans are excited. We want them to be. I don't think that changes. I just think that adds hunger to our players. They recognize that the fans are going to be supportive. We're excited to be back and playing in Target Field and have everyone show up and help to support this club, because, you know, they want to do that for the fans.
You know, you got a couple guys, and there's always somebody up for their contract here. And of course, Joe Mau and Brian Dozier fit that profile. And as you know, as glamorous as it is, as much money as they've made, everybody wants certainty in their life. What do you tell them when they're in a contract year? Do you say, "Hey, come in, I'll give you as best I can every time," or is it best just to say, "Let's forget about it all and talk about it a different time"?
You know, I think that you'd be naive not to think that it's on people's minds, certainly. And so, as you said, Mike, I think the best way we can handle those conversations is as respectfully as possible. You know, we talk, they all have agents, they all have representatives that help to convey to us where things stand. And we certainly recognize that you mentioned two guys, but, you know, whether it's Eduardo Escobar or Irvin Santana or others, every year you're going to have some guys, you know, coming to the expiration of whatever contract they've recently signed. And so we always handle that internally and respectfully and directly with the player. We understand we may not always line up, but we never rule out anything for the future.
Hey, Derek, we appreciate you joining us, especially sticking around for two segments. Maxie, we're going to go with your Byron Buxton interview next to keep this whole half hour focused on the Minnesota Twins. Thanks so much, Derek, and we'll look forward to maybe a solid announcement a little bit later in the day.
Yeah, I can't say that they've got any. I'm just saying there's a guy that looks a lot like him that might be walking around right now.
Yeah, we're on a little limb there, but we're willing to do it. Okay,
thanks, guys.
All right, that's Derek Falvey. You're listening to Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, Mike, Cheryl. All right, we are back. When you read the national media talking about baseball, I think they feel uniformly the player with the highest upside potential in the Minnesota Twins is probably Byron Buxton. Maxie had a chance to catch up with the twin center fielder. Let's listen in.
Byron, so far, how has give it to me? How has spring training been for you?
Spring's going good. You know, I just got to get back into to groovy things and get my swing back up under me and start, you know, get my lower stability back up under me. But other than that, you know, everything's going good. Everybody's getting back in sync, so that's the good part.
When you get a rain out like today, you get a couple at bats in. I guess that's the good news. But there's no reason to play when it gets that wet, huh? You guys start worried about injury.
Right, you know, I'm just glad we got in, you know, get some at-bats in and got to see some pitches. And, you know, that's what helps us prepare ourselves for the regular season. You know, even though the game got cut short a little bit, we still got at-bats in and played a decent game.
So what do you try to do? Like in the first couple of weeks, are you trying to just get your timing down? Or when do you, you know, do you have a point where you go, okay, now I'm game ready?
Kind of switched it up this year. Knowing I knew my swing a little bit more, I want to see a little bit more pitches, see a little bit more spin, to try to see the break on balls. I remember last year, you know, right out the chute, pitchers start off with fastballs, and I was, you know, just jumping all over fastballs, and regular season came, and they were spinning a little bit, and early in the count, and, you know, I wasn't prepared for that. So now I'm just trying to prepare myself to, you know, see breaking balls early, trying to battle with two strikes a little bit, test out my two-strike approach and things like that.
But like today was a good example because you didn't hit it hard, but you stayed back, made contact, got a base hit, kept an inning alive. That's exactly kind of what you're talking about, right? Because not every batter going to hit a bullet, but you got to hang in there and move the ball.
That's right. You know, every pitcher's tough. Every pitcher's different. So, you know, the key for me is, you know, letting the ball travel a little bit and trying not to pull off of things. That's when I get in trouble early in camp. From recent years of me knowing myself, early in count when I start swinging, I usually get a little pull happy. So, you know, I'm just trying to stay up the middle to right center starting off. And maybe the last week and a half, you know, I start turning around on balls and start knowing I'm supposed to.
Do you like hitting first, third? Today fifth? I mean, do you got a spot you like to hit?
I don't care. I just want to play, you know. The skip said, you know, I would be up and down or whatever. You know, I just want to go out there and play and try to help us win as many games as we can.
You know, when you drive up here, I was watching the fans as they come in, and your big posters outside of there, you know. And what's that like? Is that overwhelming when you see that you're one of the faces of this team now?
It is. You know, I try not to put myself, you know, up there. It's probably not a good word, but whatever. I try to, you know, stay more low-key and just try to take in more advice than, you know, put it out. So it's definitely overwhelming. You know, I probably only saw it once just because...
Yeah, you guys don't park there, so you don't see it as much as the fans do.
Yeah, but it's quicker for me to come the opposite way through the minor league side, but I always drive around and come in on the opposite side because I don't care to see it. I mean...
You don't want to think about that.
Right. You know, I know it's important. Granted, it's very appreciative, you know, to be up there with the guys that's up there, you know, but...
But you don't want to think in those terms.
Right. You know, I'm still trying to learn the game and still trying to get more experience and, you know, become a better leader, better guy to follow.
What does Paul Molitor tell you about that? Because he's been one of your guys in your corner and a great counselor because he's gone through a lot of what you go through.
Like you said, he's been in my corner ever since I got drafted, and he's just somebody that I know I can talk to him with anything, no matter what time it is or what time of day. You know, I know any... day of the week, any time of the night, Molly will pick up the phone and we can have a conversation.
Last question. What do you do with your off time when you're down here? Are you a fisherman or are you a what when you're not playing ball?
I'm a father, man. I go back home and play with my little man and hang out with the wife and, you know, just kind of relax the rest of the day and get ready for the next day. But I just try to go home and spend as much time with the family. I know that, you know, spring training, you get a little bit more time to spend with the family during regular season.
Do you like spring training? Is it fun?
I love it.
Now it is, huh?
Oh, yeah, now it is. But I'm pretty anxious for regular season, to be honest. But I know, you know, spring training is just the funnest times of baseball. You know, you get to come down here. It's the first time the guys get back together. And, you know, the funnest part to me is the first week. You know, just who has the ugliest swing? That's what we come up with this year. You know, who had the ugliest swing? And we kind of just made a game of it.
Who won?
We don't know. We still trying to figure that out.
But that's one of the things you do. Those batting cages get used quite a bit, don't they?
Oh, yeah. You know, that's where we put in all our work. And once the game starts, we just go out there and have fun.
All right, that's Byron Buxton of the Twins. Max, he's heading over to watch that Twin spring training game today. We appreciate his joining us this morning from Florida. Sid is in place in the studio. Mark Coyle is standing by to talk to us. Cheryl Reeve is here with us in the studio. Got some other guests, again, for people who like to know when P.J. Fleck is going to be with us. P.J. Fleck's new time. He'll try to be on with us every week that it's possible. The new time is 11:30. I know he was on at 10:30 and people listen there. New time is at 11:30. He should be on with us today. You are listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, Cheryl, and Mike. We are back. As I parted the studio last week, Sid said to me, get Mark Coyle. I want to have Mark Coyle on the phone next week. Sid, Mark Coyle is standing by to talk to us right now.
NCAA, you got to be happy with her.
Yeah, you know, very, very excited. First off, Sid, I want to make sure I wish you a happy birthday. I know you have a big birthday coming up this weekend and want to wish you a happy birthday and thank you for all the support of our program for so many years. And, yeah, obviously excited for Coach Stallings and our women's basketball team. You know, Coach Reeves and the Lynx, you know, winning the championship in that building late in the summer, early fall, put a good vibe in that for our women's basketball team. We're just excited about their 22-win season, and we look forward to finding out where we go in the NCAA tournament tomorrow night.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a tough question. The Star Tribune had a big story about the status of those three coaches. How about their status? I would think their status is okay.
Yeah, you know, Sid, as you know, we've got a great group of coaches across the board in all of our sports. And you know, again, Coach Stallings came back and had a great year this past year. And, you know, with our men's basketball program, as you know, Sid, we lost four of our top six players. And I think any coach would tell you when you get down four of your top six players, it's going to have an impact on your season. And we don't want to make excuses. We want to continue to get better. We have a good recruiting class coming in, and we expect, you know, men's basketball to bounce back where it's at. And with respect to men's hockey, you know, we haven't shied away from that. You know, we feel like we have a hockey program that should be competing for championships each year. And obviously, you know, we're ranked 13th in the country. We'll find out on March 18th where we'll play in the NCAA tournament. We'll continue to evaluate that program like we do all of our programs.
How about Lucia? Are you back?
You know, Sid, with Coach Lucia, you know, as you know, he's in his 19th year. I have a lot of respect for what he's done for our program and how he operates. And my job with Coach Lucia and all of our coaches is to make sure we give them all the support we can so they can compete at a high level.
Okay. The basketball season had quite a year. A lot of bad breaks. You got to give your basketball coach next year, I think it'd be a lot better.
Yeah, you know, I think what we do is we just talked about, Sid, we got a strong recruiting class coming in. You know, it's hard. You know, people forget when we lost Eric Curry at the start of the year to a knee injury. You know, having Eric back and then getting Amir Coffey back. You know, he had successful surgery, so we'll get Amir back. And Dupree McBrayer, I tell you what, Sid, he gutted it out all year. You know, he had some injuries all year. He battled for us and competed hard. So if we can get those guys back healthy, get our freshman class in here, I'm confident Coach Pitino and that staff that will be competing for Big Ten championships like we want to do.
Hey, Mark, it's tough to stay on top. For a couple of months, you had the newest facility in the Twin Cities, and then the Vikings had to go and open their place this week.
Yeah, you know, they did. You know, as you know, Dave, you and I have talked before. I think being here in the Twin Cities is such a great opportunity for our program because we're surrounded by such great professional organizations, and it's neat to see the Vikings. I had a chance to see the paper and see some of the pictures, and, you know, my congratulations to Kevin Warren and that staff. They've worked so hard for that new facility, and it looks awesome. But I can tell you, we're awful proud of Athletes Village. You know, if you could see the impact it's had on our program already, and, you know, I remind people, if you're having a bad day, you know, come over to our facility and watch our student athletes in the academic center, watch our student athletes in the nutrition center. It's great to see them interact. It's great to see them smile. And like I said, it's going to have a long-term impact on our program.
Good morning, Mark. It's Cheryl Reeve. I just wanted to say a huge thank you for your support of our franchise during our great run during the WNBA playoffs last season. We can't say enough about the partnership that you all, open arms, you know, locker rooms, altering your court, that sort of thing. Have this huge alien looking thing coming out of the windows of Williams Arena. I just wanted to say a huge thank you. And that support just meant so much to us.
Well, thank you, Coach Reeves. You know, I give you and the Lynx a lot of credit. You know, there's no doubt you guys have built the model program, the WNBA, and we're awful proud, as I just mentioned, about our professional teams in the Twin Cities. And we feel like we've got a great partnership with the Lynx and the Wolves, the Vikings, the Minnesota United. You know, and a few weeks ago, our baseball team had a chance to play an exhibition game against the Twins. So we feel really fortunate. But Coach Reeves, I can't tell you how excited we were to see the success you all had and just really respect what you guys do. You do it in a first-class manner and all that you do.
Thanks, just a note, Mark, your basketball coach, Stallings, will be a guest of Rishini Rajkumar at 12:20 this morning here on WCCO. And is the public invited? I know tomorrow night is the announcement of the women's basketball seedings, the selection show. Is the public invited to that?
Yep, the public is invited. We'd love to have them come at 6 o'clock at Williams Arena. We're going to lower down the scoreboard and watch the selection show actually on the video board at Williams Arena. So it is open to the public, and I'm glad Coach Stallings will have a chance to be on Rashina's show. You know, Marlene and her staff have just done a phenomenal job this year. You know, we had two first-team All-Big Ten players, and Kanisha and Carly Wagner, and then Destiny Pitts being named the Freshman of the Year in the Big Ten. You know, they had a special season with the 22 wins, and just really look forward to watching them compete in the NCAA championship.
Okay, what about the Big Ten, beat Big Ten Network? Are you getting a lot more money from them now?
Well, you know, Sid, as you know, we're a legacy member in the Big Ten Conference, and the Big Ten Network has been a great partner to us. And, you know, I heard a long time ago that money's not the most important thing in college athletics, but it's right up there with oxygen. And I never forgot that line in terms of you need resources to support all 25 programs. You know, and if you look at our program right now, we've won 13 conference championships over the past 2.5 seasons in 9 different sports. And so we're able to have a very broad-based program, and we can have a broad-based program, support a broad-based program because of support we get from the Big Ten Network and the NCAA.
Mark, you use the term legacy member. Are the other new schools fully vested? Nebraska, it seems like they've been in long enough. They're probably vested. But how about the two East Coast schools? Is there a vesting period for them?
There is, Dave, and if I remember correctly, I believe it's a 6-year period. So as new members come to the league, I think they walk them up over a 6-year period. And so obviously with us being a legacy member, Nebraska, I think this is the first year where they get full membership, and then Maryland and Rutgers are still in that vetting process until they get the full payments. But, you know, I can tell you I've been blessed to work in a lot of different conferences. You know, I was at Kentucky for 7 years and worked in the SEC. And then when I was the athletic director at Boise State in the Mountain West, and then at Syracuse in the ACC, you know, the Big Ten just does a phenomenal job of supporting all the member institutions. I think we have a lot in common in terms of our academic progress and what we want to do athletically, and just very proud to be a part of the Big Ten and how we represent it.
Okay, what about your football schedule, your football ticket sale? How are they going?
They're going well, Sid. You know, obviously, I think people are excited for year two with Coach Fleck. You know, he went out and did a phenomenal job with the recruiting class. I believe our recruiting class is ranked first in the Big Ten West. I think we're in the top 30, 35 in the country, which is places we haven't been for a long time. And, you know, as Coach Reeves will tell you, you got to get some talented players and you got to coach them. And we're very confident that PJ's doing those two things. And, you know, I encourage fans, we have two open public practices on March 27th and April 3rd. Fans can come see the new indoor football facility and watch our teams practice. And then, of course, we have the spring football game on April 14th. So we're excited about year two and just really thankful for our football student-athletes and how hard they're working and how hard Coach Fleck is coaching them.
Mark, one of the things you hear today in collegiate athletics is the challenge of maybe the climate for personalities, that sort of thing, that the kids have changed, that they're much harder to coach. What is your experience, and what would you say are the biggest challenges as an administrator to kind of balance the student with the coaching aspect?
You know, Coach, I think the most important thing is communication. You know, we talk all the time that we want to be incredibly honest with each other and have open and honest conversations. And I think when you have miscommunications or you have misunderstandings, that's where things get really complex. And there's no doubt the students today are different than they were 10 years ago, different than they were 20 years ago. And I think when you see the successful coaches, I think they have an ability to communicate effectively with each one of their students. They're all different. They all come from different backgrounds. But I think it's finding that common language, that common ground to develop a championship culture, very similar to what you've done with the Lynx.
Mark, just as a follow-up to Cheryl's question, I had a chance to hear Hugh McCutchen this week. He spoke at a lunch. He had one of the best answers I've ever heard, coaching millennials, and then the question, difference between coaching men and women. I think you ought to get that on tape, and whenever you get the question, just play what Coach McCutchen had to say. I think he handled that question about as well as I've ever heard.
Yeah, you know, you've heard me talk before, Dave. You know, Hugh, I am convinced that you could take Coach McCutchen and make him the CEO of a Fortune 500 company tomorrow, and he would be successful. He is just a, you know, when I meet with our volleyball recruits when they come on campus, I simply tell them he's not the best coach in the country. He's the best coach in the world with respect to volleyball. Have a great deal of respect for him and how he does it. And as you noted, he's had success coaching the women. He's had success coaching the men. He's just very well-rounded and does a phenomenal job of communicating and connecting people.
What about the football program? Yeah, I think Fleck will be a lot better this year. Don't you think so?
That's our goal. You know, again, I'm just so grateful for PJ. You know, he came in here. You know, we had three head coaches in 3 years, and PJ came in here. And you know, I give a lot of credit to our football student-athletes. You know, they've responded well to Coach Fleck. They've worked hard. They bought in. You know, we've had our highest academic semesters with Coach Fleck here. I know they're working awfully hard off the field. I know they're working really hard on the field. And we have no reason to believe we can't have great success as we continue to build this thing the right way.
Mark, one of the tenets of fundraising, it's easier sometimes to raise it for something that's a dream than it is a reality, but yet fundraising goes on for the athletic facility. Do you still have prospects, and are there still unused naming opportunities in conjunction with that?
We do, Dave. Yeah, we still have lots of fundraising opportunities available. You know, right now, look at our Nothing Short of Greatness campaign, which includes Athletes Village, our new outdoor track, wrestling renovations, men's and women's golf renovations, et cetera, hockey renovations. We've raised about $125 million. So we have about $75 million more that we're trying to raise. We're working awfully hard. And Dave, I can't tell you how thankful we are for the support we get from so many people. But like I said, you know, I tell people all the time, I'm in the business of dreams. When you invest in our program, you're investing in dreams that our students have, dreams that our coaches have, and we'll continue to aggressively fundraise. But we do have naming opportunities available, and we look forward to continue to fundraise and close out that gap of $75 million.
What about the facilities? Are they all done? Do you have some more additions to make?
Yeah, you know, Athletes Village is a big piece of the puzzle for our department. You know, we need to look at our gymnastics programs. Sid, you know, both Mike Burns and Coach Hansen, Jenny Hansen, do a phenomenal job with our programs. In fact, they both have two freshmen on each of their teams that are just outstanding. But we need to look at our gymnastics facilities next. But the most important thing is, you know, we just need to continue to build and do things the right way. And our goal is to provide a first-class experience for all of our student-athletes and coaches, and we won't rest until we can do that for all 25 programs.
Mr. Coyle, Athletic Director of Minnesota, being on the show, will get you a certificate to the best place in the state of Minnesota, maybe in the country. Thank you very much for being on.
Hey, we really appreciate it, Sid. And again, I hope you have a wonderful birthday. Coach Reeves, it was great talking with you. Dave and Mike, I hope you guys have a great day.
Go. Thanks, Mark.
See you tonight, Mark. All right, it was Mark Coyle. We'll be back right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, Cheryl, Mike's gone. Forget about Mike. All right, we are back. We've got a little segment here. We get a chance to talk to each other. I'm not sure because I don't know what goes on in all the other states, but it would be hard to imagine a better tournament than the Minnesota State Boys Hockey Tournament. You look at the seats. There was a telling picture online of a NHL game in Florida, half empty, and then everybody waiting to get in and in the filling the seats for the Minnesota Hockey Tournament. Cheryl, you didn't grow up here, but that's quite a phenomenon that goes on every year with that tournament.
Yeah, I learned about that. Actually, Lindsay Whalen told me long ago
big fan.
That she and her father, that was something they do annually, is to attend the tournament. So I know how big it is, and you know, I wish I grew up here because I think I would have really enjoyed hockey. And I always say this, Lindsay Whalen's a hockey player playing basketball. It's a great sport, and I've enjoyed my time here.
Sid, year after year, I think the Minnesota State Hockey Tournament just provides great entertainment. The quality of play, as you watch those teams, if you didn't know, if you randomly had turned on your television set, you wouldn't know those are high school kids. They're so good.
That's for sure. Well, they start out playing at such a younger age. And for hockey, that's the parents, that's the most important thing in sport. A hockey parent has that kid doing hockey 5, 6, 7 years old. And by the time they're 12, 13, 14, they're really furnished players.
And the high school league puts on quite a show. I mean, the television production, some of the non-hockey action pieces that I saw based on the history going back. I mean, I got to give credit to the high school league and the TV stations who put that on. That's absolutely first-class entertainment.
Well, the interest is in hockey in this state, but here's the difference.
Now, be careful. I know where you're going.
Has about 115 schools. Yeah. Something like that. Basketball has 500.
Right.
But even so, the hockey people are so involved in the sport more than any other sport. If a parent, hockey parent, that's all he cares about is that hockey.
Cheryl, we were talking a little bit earlier. You don't have hockey in your background, but you weren't just exclusively a basketball player. You played other sports.
I did. I started out as a young age playing baseball. I was just 9 years old.
Not softball.
Not softball. I had to play baseball because we didn't have a girls' team. So I played baseball with the boys very early on, and then I transitioned into softball as I got a little bit older, and there were more opportunities, more teams. Traveled all around playing softball with the traveling team. It was my first love. I was actually probably better at softball than I was at basketball. It wasn't until, you know, you get a little bit older, you start playing basketball and you add the soccer and I actually played tennis my senior year in high school. So just kind of that being well-rounded. I loved all sports. But it was really ultimately my high school coach, basketball coach, who was also my softball coach, said, Cheryl, you really should probably focus on basketball because there's more opportunities scholarship-wise. And, boy, I so appreciate the advice that she gave. I followed it, and I remember writing to a number of schools and just being really fortunate. I had a really good teammate on my team that coaches came to see to recruit, so I was able to be seen that way.
Not a bad thing. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have a little bit of fun because, Cheryl, you've added the title of general manager to your impressive resume with the Minnesota Lynx. Sid was, for pretty much an entire decade in the 50s, late 40s, the general manager of the Minneapolis Lakers. I'm going to let him give you a little advice on filling that position of general manager. We'll do that right after this break. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Cheryl. All right, Sid, we're back. Put your headset on, and we're going to have a little conversation here. If you joined us late and didn't hear the earlier interview, Derek Falvey could not speak about the acquisition of Lance Lynn. He's still going through the protocols with the physical. But Anibal Sanchez apparently is going to be released from the 40-man roster to make room for Lynn. And, again, P.J. Fleck should be joining us in about 37 minutes right now. All right. General manager to general manager. Cheryl didn't know, Sid, that you ran the Lakers for an entire decade. She's now not just a coach. She's the general manager. You have all these years of wisdom. What do you want to tell her?
Well, that was in a lot different situation in sports that there is now. This was don't have the big salaries, didn't have the big everything, a big television contract. It was altogether different than it is now. Now everything is wrapped up in big time stuff. Even the Lynx, they won a championship. The crowds are big. Everything else is much different.
Sid, what was the first televised Laker game? Do you have any idea when the first time is the Lakers were on TV? Was it in the 50s?
Yeah, 1949 is the first year they played. They played the first game in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Did they have a team?
That was a league game.
Wow.
That was the first.
Were you there?
Game. No.
No, you weren't there. When did you get involved? When did you sign George Mikan?
Signed him. He was drafted by the Detroit Gems, and they were the first. They were in that National Basketball League,
yeah.
And they finished last year. So we had the draft choice.
Okay, and then you got but Cheryl doesn't know the story about your getting lost. Didn't you get lost on the way to the airport with George Mikan in your car?
Yeah.
Tell about that.
I got lost on purpose.
Well, I guess the statute of limitations has run out on that.
He wouldn't sign, so he had to stay overnight, and the next morning we signed him.
I mean, that's a great tactic. That's a great learning lesson right there.
Sid never did learn his way to the airport very effectively.
Great strategy.
They put him in the car. And then, Sid, you had some fun with the drafts over the years. I don't think Cheryl knows this story either. You had a guy named Clyde Lavellette in your back pocket, and nobody else thought anybody was going to draft him.
Well, that's right. You're 100% right.
How did that happen?
How am I making?
No, Lavellette, Clyde Lavellette.
Nobody
was going to draft the guy, and you.
Well, we were in Milwaukee where the draft was held, and nobody was going to take Lavellette because he said he was going to play with the Phillips 66 team. That was a big AAU team at the time. So we took him with the hope that we signed him. And the meeting was adjourned, and while they tried to stop us from taking him.
Had you had something set up in advance with Lavella? Because this is in your book, nobody knew what you were up to, and you said the Minneapolis Lakers take Clyde Lavella, and the room went crazy. You can't have Lavella.
We didn't need a draft choice at that point. Yeah. We were loaded with players, so we took him, even though we didn't think we would sign him for a couple of years. But lucky Max Winter went down to Kansas City and signed him in Kansas City.
Now, Cheryl, I was looking at the history of your number one draft choices. You've been fairly active in trading draft choices for players in like the 26 to 28 year range. Is that a kind of a sweet spot for the Lynx? Get them and then held them four to six, 7 years after that?
Yeah, I think that's a formula that's been useful, successful for us in that it's hard for young players coming right out of college to come into our league and experience a high level of success. Unless they're the number one pick, number two pick in some years, it's really, really challenging at the draft position that we're located in at the bottom of the draft and picking anywhere from 10 to 12 over the last 8 years. You know, the mindset has been that we can, utilize that pick to maybe get a little bit more experience to kind of help with this notion of winning now, in this window of opportunity where we have these veterans that we want to put young players behind them, but not too young that they're not quite sure how to win yet. So it's been a formula that's been good for us.
Sure. Can you talk to the timetable? When do you come to camp? When do you start play?
April 29th is the start of training camp. We will open on May 20th. And so we have a three-week period of time in training camp that we kind of shape who we're going to be during the coming season. We will have some late arrivals this year to contend with. We have some players overseas that will be a little bit late, and we'll have to figure out how that goes.
Fewer players overseas, though. You didn't get as many going overseas, so you're used to that.
We are. We have half of our team that stays home. You know, we've got Lindsay Whalen and Simone Augustus and Rebecca Brunson, who all have had enough of the overseas part. Maya Moore went over late after January, so she's playing with our assistant coach over in Ekaterinburg. Doing quite well. And then Sylvia Fowles right now is competing in the finals in China. They won game one yesterday, and so they'll have to try to find a way to win two more so she can get on home.
Okay, we've got about 20 seconds to go here. I've had two text messages. In our earlier discussion, you mentioned Las Vegas. Somebody wrote, can you give us those Las Vegas dates? During the break, if we can get those dates, be happy to pass along to our listeners when we come back. We've got P.J. Flecko joining us in the 11:30 segment. A couple other guests along the way. We'll get you involved via phone call. I'll tell you when it's time for that. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Cheryl.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.